Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And on today's show, we're going to be catching up with Melly James. He's the co-founder of Mana Up. And we've got a couple of companies to join us. They're from Cohort 10. We've got Billy Carter from Kauai Gourmet Nuts and Tim Johnson from Oribe Tea. And I want to welcome you all to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks, Bert. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for joining me. And Melly, you know, you guys just had a really, I thought, pretty cool kickoff. Now, Melly, I don't want to share this, but I will. You know, this is the first kickoff that I've been to. I didn't know you had these kind of cool kickoffs. I thought it was like, you know, the Bloomingdale's event is like the real you know, showcase that I need to make sure I go to. But hey, this kickoff was pretty good. So tell us a little bit about the kickoff that took place at Washington Place.
Yeah, so, you know, Governor and First Lady have been huge supporters of Mana Up, mm-hmm. So we were excited to be hosting our kickoff again at Washington Place. We actually had our workshop at the Lieutenant Governor's conference room prior and really got the companies to be learning more about bill session and just, you know, how working with government, et cetera. So that was a really neat workshop. But, you know, the kickoff is really about celebrating. One, we're celebrating our 10th cohort, a huge milestone for Mana Up. 105 companies now having been a part of Mana Up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, really it's about bringing our partners together, media partners, sponsors, and really just our great ohana and community of folks and different stakeholders that have really become a part of Mana Up and really helped to get this thing off the ground and keep it flourishing. So it was nice to have all 10 companies there in Cohort 10 all sharing what they're doing tastings, sharing their different wares and beautiful products, but also just being able to continue to network and mingle and have our alumni come back. And it's really about that idea of collision that we love, getting smart people in a room together to collaborate, and we just get out of the way, and these great conversations happening, and just more to come.
Well, yeah, you know, it was a really good event. And where were you doing it before? I think this was just the second one at Washington Place, right? Were you doing kickoffs somewhere else?
Yeah, so it's actually gotten bigger and bigger over the years. Mm-hmm. So Bert, don't worry, you weren't missing on anything years ago. We used to host them in our office.
Okay, I remember those. Yeah.
It's gotten much bigger, as has everything. I mean, we're about getting bigger and bigger, and you've just blown it up every year, even more so.
No, and that's the other thing that I really like about what you've done. You've taken it, you know, every time it's like a little, you tweak it, you know, you tweak it up a notch. And I do remember, yeah, because, you know, going to your offices at the Dole Cannery and then, you know, seeing the cohort there, it's like, I will admit, those were like humble beginnings.
Yeah.
But they're fun.
I remember our kickoff. It was in November of 2017. I think you were there. We were just launching Mana Up, and it was...
Well, you did it. Wasn't that at SALT?
No, okay, so our launch of Mana Up, just like the whole concept of Mana Up, was in November of 2017 in our offices at Dole Cannery.
Okay,
Our first showcase was in SALT,
yeah,
in the barn,
yeah.
Which I don't even think just our cohort members could fit now in the barn. It's just gotten so much bigger. We're now taking over the whole third floor of Bloomingdale's, which of course will be coming up November 6th, which is the graduation of Cohort 10. But, you know, 2,000 of our favorite friends are coming now, and at some point, we'll probably have to start taking over the second floor as well.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I'm kind of more of a grunge-oriented type of person. So, you know, when you guys did it at SALT, I thought, wow, this is right up my alley. You know, it's like very you can see all the pipes, the concrete. You know, it was kind of outdoorsy. But like I said, you took it up a notch every year, and now you're at Bloomingdale's, which is a little bit, out of my class range, but, you know,
no,
I still enjoy it.
You got to enjoy the comfort, the great lighting, great parking, you know, great bathrooms.
Yeah, beautiful
location, and it's really that mindset shift that we love, like, that our companies and more Hawaii companies know and believe that they can be in a Bloomingdale's.
Oh, yeah,
have every
yeah,
right
yeah,
to be there and have just these beautiful quality products that should be right inside of Bloomingdale's.
Well, you know, and to associate your cohort with the creature comforts of, you know, the environment, the ambience, and the place like Bloomingdale's, I think that's a really great kind of connection that you've made, and I'm proud of what you've accomplished here. Now, so that's the kickoff, and before I get to the companies, I did want to ask you. You said you had a little workshop, and the workshop was involving some political the process of policy making. Who came up with that idea?
So, you know, as more of our companies, I think we'll talk more about this in the session around, like, you know, these are all thriving companies here in Hawaii. Legislation impacts business here.
Right.
And how do we have a better relationship with the legislature and legislators as we think about policy that's going to impact business here? And so it's absolutely imperative for companies to learn about these processes, how they can get involved. And it's not such a scary place. So it was amazing to have, we had Josh Wish from Holomua Collective speak with the companies, as well as Lieutenant Governor. And she had a great session just having the company share about challenges and being able to hear herself and being able to provide some of the things that they're working on as well. So it's just a really neat conversation. We're so happy that we got to do that.
And where did you hold that workshop?
We held that workshop in the Lieutenant Governor's conference room on the 5th.
Oh, very good, very good.
Yeah, and then, of course, walked across the street to Washington Place. So that was a lot of fun. And again, just huge support from Governor, First Lady, Lieutenant Governor, and it's just been really neat to get that as the kickoff.
That's great. And Billy, so how did you enjoy the kickoff? I mean, did you get anything out of it? What was some of the just sort of memorable moments? I did see the Lieutenant Governor kind of hanging out at your booth there.
Yes, well, the Lieutenant Governor did like our products a lot. And as far as the whole kickoff goes, it's like what Melly was saying with networking. It was great to be there and see our other Cohort 10 members and kind of learn and be inspired by their different methods of doing business, but also talking to the some of the alumni companies from previous cohorts and getting their feedback about, you know, what the Mana Up program did for their companies. And then, of course, just networking amongst all those kind of influential people that came there. I was able to get leads toward wholesale accounts, just regular retail, and also some brick-and-mortar leads for expansion into Honolulu.
Yeah, and that's great because both of you are on Neighbor Islands, and we'll get into a little bit more detail as to what the company does. But, Tim, what was your takeaway from the kickoff experience?
You know, really similar to Billy. It was a wonderful opportunity to come out. I really liked connecting with the alumni from the previous cohorts and being able to share stories. A few of them have been friends for a few years, so catching up with familiar faces, sharing stories of, you know, where we're at in our journeys and struggles, where we're, you know, running into certain problems, and just being able to kind of like brainstorm together. So, you know, what Melly's been saying this whole time is absolutely true. It's really powerful to be able to get all these people together into one room. And so I really enjoyed that aspect and being able to just kind of have everybody there together under one roof.
Yeah, no, it was great. And, you know, I do want to talk a little bit more to Billy and Tim about the businesses that they're in. And Billy is with, you know, Kauai Gourmet Nuts, and Tim is with Oribe Tea. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Melly James, co-founder of Mana Up, and Billy Carter from Kauai Gourmet Nuts, and Tim Johnson of Oribe Tea. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're catching up with Melly James. She's the co-founder of Mana Up. And we're also talking to a couple of companies in Cohort 10. We have Billy Carter from Kauai Gourmet Nuts and Tim Johnson from Oribe Tea. And, of course, you know, we were talking prior to the break about the kickoff that took place this past week, and both Billy and Tim were there. But I want to ask you, Billy, tell us a little bit about Kauai Gourmet Nuts, and obviously you're on Kauai and you're calling in, and you've based the company on Kauai. And what is it that what's the genesis story of Kauai Gourmet Nuts?
Well, Kauai Gourmet Nuts is a candied nut company, and you see a lot of candied nut companies out there, although it is a bit of a niche market within the nut company realm. And so what I did was develop a kind of a specialty method of making a really light, crispy candy shell rather than a hard or crunchy candy shell. And also developing recipes that that use the methods of letting the sugar melt and over time releasing ingredients. So you can have these, what I call dynamic flavors that kind of change as you eat them. That's kind of the gourmet part of the Kauai Gourmet Nuts.
And what did you do prior, and how long has Kauai Gourmet Nuts been in existence, and what were you doing prior to that sort of led you to opening up this business?
I founded the company 7 years ago, and prior to that, way back, I have a culinary background. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were both Italian immigrants, and my grandfather was a restaurateur. I learned to cook from my grandmother, who cooked by pinches and dashes rather than teaspoons and tablespoons. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get a knack for how flavors work together, and just like a natural ability to do that kind of cooking. And then over the years, I managed several businesses and also logistics companies. So kind of combining the culinary, logistics, and business management skills into one company. And immediately prior to starting my company, I worked for another nut company that was based on Kauai, and I was able to glean a lot of technique and experience from them.
Mm-hmm. How have you spent a lot of time on Kauai?
I've been on Kauai for 13 years.
Okay, and so most of this experience with your grandmother, grandfather were in Hawaii or someplace else?
No, that was all mainland-based. Grandparents from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up in Washington State.
Oh, great. And then was it something about the Kauai environment that you found yourself in this sort of gourmet nut sort of niche?
Yeah, well, it was a missed opportunity to apprentice to a private chef that led me to just look for a job. And I fell into the nut making industry and just fell in love with the techniques and process of this kind of, unique corner of the food industry.
When you say nut making business, I wouldn't naturally imagine that there's much of that particular business on Kauai. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Was there enough of that exposure on Kauai that kind of sparked your interest in starting the company there?
Well, it was just based on me already living on Kauai and having this opportunity to get into farmers markets and kind of build my business from the ground up here. Mm-hmm. Hawaii itself has the macadamia nut we're famous for, and since the chocolate-covered macadamia industry is already pretty well established, going into this candied nut business gave me kind of something unique to do and be able to compete with those bigger companies.
Oh, that's great. Now, Tim, from the tea business, Oribe Tea, maybe tell us a little bit about how you came about with the name Oribe.
Sure. So the name is derived from a Japanese tea master from the 16th century. His name was Furuta Oribe. And we named the company after Furuta Oribe because besides so many other things that he did, one aspect of what he did do during his tenure we really connected with. He stopped the importation of Korean wares for the tea ceremony. And he started commissioning local potters to make the wares that he wanted for the tea ceremony. And this story really resonated with us because the reason we got our company started was walking around Hilo, seeing so many abundant local fruits and root crops like ginger, turmeric, mamaki, cacao, and many others that we really wanted to be able to use in our tea blends in order to have our tea stand out from the rest. So similarly, we were, looking to source local rather than importing as much as possible. And so when the two things came together, it was kind of just a natural fit for us, and Oribe was born.
And Oribe, of course, Tim, you're, based in Hilo, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're in Hilo.
And how long has Oribe Tea been around?
We've been around for 10 years. We actually started as a bottled tea company, and we did that for probably about 3 years and quickly learned that was not my joy. I didn't enjoy it. We got into it for, we just convinced ourselves that, bottled teas were going to be a better route. It was something that a customer would drink and use up and be looking for another one much quicker than, dried teas. But 3 years of grinding and going through that and living the reality of making, shipping, moving pallets of bottled teas, I just realized that this is absolutely not what I want to be doing. We focused back on the ingredients. We focused back on the customer experience. We shifted to bagged teas, and in particular to what we're really well known for these days, which are our cold brew teas. This gives customers a really simple brew process, and we just kind of went after that, and everything just started to fall into place for us. So we chased it.
You know, I'm glad you told me that story, because I was going to ask you, from a tea standpoint, you know, there have been other companies like Shaka Tea that comes to mind, that was basically in that kind of bottling of tea business, and I don't know if they're still around. So I was kind of wondering, you know, what's the market like for that? And I think you've probably realized that maybe there's more opportunity in the dried tea, and in enabling people to experience the tea brewing process, you know, kind of on their own.
That's right. Reconnecting with the customer experience and helping to make their lives easier was really where we found our mission and our purpose. And you're absolutely right. There's other bottled tea companies like Shaka Tea. And what we found with it was it was like go big or go home. And either need to start raising tons of capital and decide to become a national brand, or you just really don't do it.
Right.
And neither one of those things were what we were looking to do at the moment. So we shifted, we pivoted, and just started focusing on what really drove us. And it worked out really well for us.
Now, you maybe describe a little bit about the variety of different kinds of teas that you put together, because it's not just, you know, one sort of tea.
Sure.
There's a lot of blended teas, and of course, I love the description. So share with us a little bit about what you offer.
So we do mostly all blended teas. Some of those flavors a lot of people will know is like hibiscus mint with mamaki is a very popular flavor that we sell. My personal favorite is ginger lime. This is a ginger lemongrass tea with lime extract in it. Super refreshing, especially on a hot day. Some of our hot teas would be like a chai turmeric. It's all the nice masala chai spices of a traditional Indian tea with a little bit of island turmeric blended in to give it a little kick, a little spice. We have a new Hawaiian breakfast that we launched, I think, a year ago. That's a black tea, hearty black tea with a little bit of island chocolate and coconut. So kind of our version of an English breakfast or Irish breakfast. So, you know, we try to get inspired by the ingredients that we find around us and create flavors that are really delicious for our customers and keep bringing them back.
Well, you know, I do want to, since you guys already had this, sort of policy workshop with the Lieutenant Governor, I did want to ask a little bit about a bill that had, I guess, been, you know, moving through this session. It was HB 496 on about mamaki tea. So I do want Tim you to kind of comment on that after this break. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Melly James, co-founder of Mana Up, Billy Carter from Kauai Gourmet Nuts, and Tim Johnson from Oribe Tea. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Melly James, co-founder of Mana Up. And also, we've got a couple of the companies from Cohort 10. We have Billy Carter from Kauai Gourmet Nuts and Tim Johnson from Oribe Tea. And right before the break, I was going to sort of see how much, Tim, you learned from that policy workshop. And as Melly said earlier, you know, legislation does impact a lot of what you might do. And there was a bill, I think HB 496, that put some restrictions on what could be branded as mamaki tea. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, if it required that you have 100% Mamaki Tea in order to call it Mamaki Tea, and that would kind of put a put something of a restraint on your ability to blend these teas. I mean, how would you have envisioned that particular bill impacting what you do, Tim?
You know, we're not a purely Mamaki Tea business, so it wouldn't have destroyed us by any means, mm-hmm. but it would definitely have impacted us very negatively. You know, from my standpoint, the way that I view the bill is that perhaps it had like a good idea at the beginning in order to try to protect mamaki that's grown in Hawaii. But the way it was actually written really overregulated the mamaki tea industry by not allowing tea blends. And by not allowing tea blends, you know, that's essentially like imagine the Hawaii macadamia nut industry, you know, not being able to label anything as Hawaii-grown macadamia nuts if they decided to add flavoring to them because mm-hmm, those flavors aren't grown in Hawaii or something like that.
Right.
And so I think with tea, it's a little bit easier to kind of attack it because each of our ingredients happen to be kind of commodity products, you know, like ours, you know, with the hibiscus or spearmint, a little bit easier than when you break it down into like flavorings that go onto macadamia nuts. But it's essentially the same thing. And from our perspective, it would absolutely just kill the mamaki tea industry. From everybody who's trying to innovate, create new blends, and build some excitement for the, I mean, this really amazing tea that's endemic to the Hawaiian Islands. And to be doing it at a time when, you know, the biggest customer, Shaka Tea, who's been buying Mamaki Tea from literally, you know, dozens of small farmers across the state, has gone out of business. And so we've gotten calls from lots of these small farmers asking, hey, can you use any more Mamaki Tea? And we're doing our best in order to, you know, pick up new small clients and to be able to work with as many as we can. But a bill like this would really just kind of, you know, put the nail in the coffin and
stall
not
it.
Allow innovation.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Now, Billy, I want to ask you, what do you think the Cohort 10 experience is going to be like? What do you want to get out of it?
Well, I kind of had stagnated my growth a little bit. I had opened two retail stores on Kauai, and the pandemic did slow down my wholesale accounts quite a bit. And then I was completely staffed up, kind of took some, you know, personal time to enjoy not having to be at work every day, and then realized, hey, it's time to grow again. And Mana Up was kind of this perfect foil for us to learn from other companies and use their resources to increase our web commerce, our wholesale accounts, and hopefully my brick-and-mortar presence throughout the islands.
And is it something that you would like to see as a result of this, basically a growth spurt?
Yeah, I want to see another growth spurt. I want to see more Hawaiian locals interested in my product. We don't have a huge local customer base. And also just reach the, you know, eyes, ears, and mouths of more tourists and more people who don't have a chance to come to Hawaii. And, you know, might want to just order a product and kind of get that feeling at home.
Now, Tim, what do you want to get out of the Cohort experience? I've seen your brand around, you know, so I already thought it was a Mana Up company, the way it's, you know, nicely packaged and everything. But what do you want to see as a, you know, as a accomplishment or a goal after doing the Cohort?
So really three things, Bert. You know, we're looking to kind of help cement our brand and tell our story better because, as I touched on earlier, our name Oribe is not a Hawaiian name, and so it gets a lot of confusion, a lot of questions asked about it. So we want to be able to tell our story better, and we've already kind of begun work on that, so I'm really excited. I'd also like to expand our distribution through meeting new partners and being able to sell in more locations. And finally, what we're looking for is we're looking to meet the right partner investors who believe in our vision. And we want to start our own matcha tea farm in Hilo on the Big Island, and that's kind of a really important next step for us.
Wow, that sounds exciting. I'm definitely going to plan a trip to visit your farm when you get that up and running. Now,
sounds good.
Yeah, Mele, you know, so Tim just brought up investment. So, you know, you're really advanced into kind of more the sort of like the accelerator mode, right? You're putting in money into the companies, and are you looking at ways of making that investment turn into, you know, dollars that benefit Mana Up?
So yes, we do have a venture capital arm with ManaUp. So it was really about growing the infrastructure, right? Starting with the accelerator, we then launched our retail initiative. Our newest store just opened at the Royal Lahaina Resort about 3 weeks ago. We've got our fulfillment center and, of course, our venture capital arm. We are not like a typical accelerator where we do not make investments in every company that comes through the program. That is not automatic. We really kind of cherry pick and think through who is raising and what that might look like for some of the companies. So that is absolutely an area where we're looking for to provide capital for companies that are looking for it that can really provide that scalable growth.
Now, you have a couple of things coming up. Obviously, the cohort. And when is the cohort? What's the period of time for their participation?
Yes, we launched 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Workshop, and then we will be ending on November 6th, which is when we have our showcase at Bloomingdale's. But in the meantime, we'll be at Made in Hawaii Festival, partnering alongside one of our core partners, Hawaiian Airlines, in their booth as they're one of the presenting sponsors. And we'll be having a whole bunch of really neat 95th anniversary products that are custom that we made with Hawaiian Airlines and our companies that will be showcasing in our booth, and a lot of other great activations we'll be hosting in our South Shore Market store as well as our Royal Lahaina store. We just did a Malama Mushroom activation this morning at South Shore, which is a lot of fun.
Wow. So lots of activities coming up. I mean, like, are there anything you want to share about, you know, what you're going to put this particular cohort through?
Yeah, we've got some great content. We've already done our deep dives with all the companies where we go to their facility, really dig into the guts of like what we're going to be working on. We've got a lot around the branding as well as finance. We'll be going over to Tori Richard. Josh Feldman will be doing a really neat workshop with us. But we're excited to be not only working with them with buyers, helping them with their wholesale, their line sheets, but also HR strategies and other areas around that. That is just really the sky's the limit. And we're packing a lot into 6 months. So that's why we also implemented our implementation break so that the companies have that time to really implement a lot of the work that we're going to be doing with them.
Well, what is this implementation break? I mean, is there some kind of a break within the period of time that they're going to be a part of the cohort?
Yes. So we do 12 workshops throughout the 6 months. We have like 4 workshops every Tuesday for 4 or 5 hours. And then we'll have a couple weeks implementation break where the companies are able to really kind of dig in. We're still meeting with them one-on-one every week, which is really where we're working specifically on a particular challenge or area of opportunity that they have. It's really different than what we may be working on with somebody else. So that's constant throughout the whole program. But the workshops come in and out throughout different times of 6 months.
Now, Meli, where can people find out more information about ManaUp and, of course, a plan for the showcase in November?
Yes, ManaUp Hawaii for everything program related, and House of ManaUp if you're looking to shop. And of course, we do corporate gifting. We love working with corporations locally for any of their corporate gifting needs.
Thanks, Millie. Millie James, co-founder of ManaUp. Billy Carter is the founder of Kauai Gourmet Nuts. And Tim Johnson is the founder of Oribe Tea. Check them out because I saw them and I love them. Anyways, I want to thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll get an update on the geothermal situation on the Big Island. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find a podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.